Hello, welcome to Spotlight. Brighter art than the summer sun, probably.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, accidental author Rob Cowley back with another magical big book encouraging more youngsters to discover the joy of writing. I chat to Myra Gilbert about her work in the Traces exhibition at the House of Mananin. Catch up with the latest summer concerts for the Ramsey Music Society, and Inkanyak is nearly upon us. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, you know the list. Get in touch, Howard Kane with an E at maxradio.com or spotlight@maxradio.com. Love to hear from you. Let's get you on the show, hear what you're up to. So he's back, busy as ever, accidental author Rob Cowley, no stranger to this show over the years, through his series of colour-themed children's books, all with positive messages for young people, encouraging them to read and all raising thousands of pounds for charity. The latest, Orange, is not long out, of course, but now Rob has been turning his attention to encouraging youngsters to discover the joy of writing stories as well as reading them. He came into the studio to tell me more.
Just have fun writing. It's the third year of the competition. First year, the prize was to get their story published in the back of one of my books. And that went so well, I realised there was really good writers on the Isle of Man, aged 6 to 13. And so last year, we decided to produce a book just of their work called the Big Book of Magical Manx Tales.
Great.
And instead of sort of publishing 20 of their stories, I ended up doing 28. They were that good. And I made 400 copies, and they sold out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, incredible.
It was incredible. And the nice thing was we raised £1,000 for a lovely charity called Bridge the Gap, which is looking after teenagers and young adults who've been ill, and it bridges the gap back to education or back to work. And then over £1,000 for the children's ward. And it was lovely because a lot of the young writers came with me to do the donations, and they realised their stories were having a real impact with other young people. So we at the children's ward, we took lots of craft material, lots of sensory toys, some overnight emergency bags of clothes, really, for parents and children who come in late and have to shoot off to Liverpool. So it was very, really nice to share all that from one nice storybook.
Brilliant. So thus inspired, we are looking at volume two, I suppose.
It is. It's going to be the second big book of Magical Manx Tales. And I'm expecting even more children to enter. It's good fun writing. They can collaborate with friends because it's 500 words. It's four pictures. So if you're not an artist, you can collaborate with one of them. No AI is allowed.
You've read my mind there. I was thinking, kids will be thinking, oh, I'll just chat GPT this.
I know. I had to disqualify three stories last year, which were over 80% AI. And it was sad that they'd entered, but there's always a check on every story. It's got to be original. It's got to be about the sort of topics that we talk about on my sort of series of bedtime storybooks, which is friendship and kindness, yeah, and courage. And just kindness kind of runs through all my sort of things. And then we introduced sort of saving the planet as well last time. And it was really interesting to see how many stories came from children about saving the planet from the litter and the pollution.
Yeah, and also actually just as a sideline, really, as you say, you're really trying to encourage young people to find the joy of writing stories and making up stories and putting them down on the page. If you're getting ChatGPT or AI to do it for you, then you're bypassing that.
And it's very obvious, I'm afraid. You know, when you look at a story that should have come from a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, and it's the language is wrong, it's too good. And as soon as you put it into an AI checker, it just throws up. So I'm hoping that everyone will stick to the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
And the big thing this year is we're starting earlier. So we're starting on the 13th of July. That's when the competition opens. And then we're running it through the summer holidays and into September. And that's because the last competition was run just in September and everyone was busy with new school year and teachers were busy. So I've tried to sort of do it this time so It can be a nice thing for a class to do at the end of the summer holiday before they break up. Individuals can write their stories over the summer without any pressure of starting school again. Or it can be a nice thing to do in school at the start of a new year. So that's why I've brought it forward. It also helps give me a bit more time to get it published ready for Christmas.
No individual theme? Can the topics be varied?
They can be varied. I like a lot of Manx. I'll be honest about that. So if there's a Manx theme in it and fairies and all sorts of Manx topics, mm-hmm. that goes down well with the judges. I don't judge. I'm not allowed to because I'm biased. But I've got two very good friends who are very good at judging. But it can be anything. It's just got to have a real sort of delight of writing in it. You can sense when they've enjoyed writing the story. And it has been really interesting because I get lots of emails back from parents saying they just didn't realise their son or daughter had this creativity inside of them, and they'd gone off to their room and produced this story. And there are prizes. So £20 if you get your story published. And there's also prizes for the 5 best illustrations.
Brilliant.
So you can just be an artist if you want to and put an illustration in.
And what's the nitty-gritty of it then? How do people actually go about it?
Well, really, they can work as a group and collaborate. They can work individually. When they have their story ready, they can either email it to me or post it to me, or some people even bring it round to my house. I'm going in and out of schools, so quite often, for example, I'm into Ballycommeen and St Ninian's talking to the students who are interested this time around, and they can leave it in the school office and I can collect. So I try and make it as easy as possible to get the work to me. There's going to be posters all around the island, I have to say, starting sort of early July. And they'll be up in the libraries, in coffee shops, in the museum shops, in the bookshops. You'll see it, and just take a photo of the competition. It says a lot of the information on it already. And they can get their stories to me when they're ready.
Brilliant. So the long summer holidays, plenty of time to get the creative juices flowing, get pen to paper or finger to pad, as the case may be. Just remind us of the cut-off date at the end of the summer then.
It's actually going to be the 30th of September. So I'm going to let it run through to there. And they'll see me out and about. I'm about to sort of go out selling my latest book of the Bedtime Stories series.
Now, this is Orange?
This is Orange, Cedric the Manx Basking Shark, all about getting the pollution out of the sea. And that's going to raise money for the RNLI. And I'll be out over the summer with that. And I'll have all the information about the competition with me. So you'll see me probably in Tesco. They've been a great supporter. And I have to give a big shout out to Dandara because they're going to support. They did last year and they were quick to jump on board and say this is a great competition for young people. And they're supporting it again this year.
Wonderful stuff. Rob tells me the audio version is rather good too. Whoever did that. For more information about the creative writing competition, you can contact Rob at Manxman, all lowercase, manxman57@live.com.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Back to Peel now to enjoy more of the current Creative Network exhibition on display at the House of Manannan Gallery. Traces is what it's called, that's the theme. We heard artist Paul Ford talk about his work in the exhibition last week. Across the gallery, on the right-hand side as you enter, is Myra Gilbert's work.
A beautiful piece of work which you think is fabric, but it speaks of a wedding. It's a wedding dress. It's a tiny little beautiful baby's dress and a headpiece from a wedding above. And this is Myra's work, The Wedding, Myra Gilbert. I said before when we came in, it looks like it might be in lace or fabric. This is actually paper.
It's tissue paper, yes. That's probably more complicated than making it in its real fabric. But the fabric that... This is my great-grandmother, I should say, and she was 18 when she married, as this wedding photo tells. And I was intrigued by it because it's in our family, you know, trunk of all photos. And I also found a list of her trousseau, which is 150 items, and I knew this woman, so we span 153 years so far between us, and I was about nearly 7 when she died. A lovely old lady at that point, but when I look back at her life at the age of 18, she was about to embark on a marriage a new house and setting that up, and what a change her life would have, you know, taken on with that marriage. So I've made her wedding outfit as a way of walking in her shoes and in her clothes, because that's my background, is fashion. So it was not a huge decision, just to actually replicate what I think I see in the photograph and to relate it to the trousseau. So I think there's something like 20 yards of silk satin in the trousseau for her wedding outfit.
It is an amazing list, which is sat on the table here. As you say, a counterpane, 14 shillings, 12 glass cloths, 6.5 pence, 12 tea cloths, 12 yards of crash roller towel, 71 and 2, 9 yards of hookerback, and a dozen dusters. Yeah,
this is domestic textiles, but when you get to the end, it has her clothes that she bought specially to wear after she was married. And at the very end, there's one piano, and she was an accomplished pianist, but she must have known that when she married, that was that, and young women didn't go onto the stage. So it was only at home, and my brother remembers her teaching him to play the piano when he was, you know, a young boy. And that those are our sort of joint memories. The rest it's not conjecture, because I've got other accounts from other relatives, but I just imagine what it was like at that age. I thought, what was I doing at 18? Certainly not making lists of tea towels. It's just, but maybe facing as many changes in my life as she did in hers. I wonder if she was aware what was coming.
Exactly so. I mean, you do wonder, and you see it's fantastic when you see the dresses set against the original picture with them all posed very formally, as was the style then for their wedding. I mean, in the same way that we do now for wedding photos, but perhaps far more stylized, and everyone looking quite serious, as they all do this. They always look very serious, don't they? You never get much of a smile in the old photos. Yes. The choice of media, was it, as you say, it might have been harder to do it in paper. Was there any significance behind that?
I think of it as something that doesn't have a big footprint. I expect when I go, it will go. And I've been working this tissue paper for a while. It's conservation tissue, and you can sew it by hand and you can write on it. I don't know of many, you know, raw materials, if you like, that you could do that with. So, and I've been faithful to the actual way that the things were made, but that's maybe my obsession. I've made it look like satin by putting purling on the paper before I started. So.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It is fascinating. It is beautiful, real eye-catcher. So if you come into the gallery, Paul is on the left-hand side, and Myra we've been looking at over on the right, and lots of other artists from the Creative Network all in between. We've just had a little taste of it today and having a wander around. You really need to come down and do it justice and sort of soak it in your own time. Catalogues are available to buy as well, which are numbered, and they're sort of collector's items, Paul?
Yes, numbered edition of 125 at £15 each.
Brilliant. And can you remind us of the dates then? It's open now and it runs through until what, September?
13th of September.
13th of September. Plenty of time to get down here. Donations welcome, but you are free to come in. And it's the sort of thing you really want to lose yourself in for an hour or two. That's all I'll say, and then you can enjoy a cup of coffee afterwards. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
Do try and check out the exhibition. It really is one of those which stops you in your tracks and makes you think about the theme and the work, whether you like the artwork itself or not, on a personal level. Thanks to Myra and Paul again for showing me around. Art Out West, Music Up North, as the next concerts in the series organised by the ever-busy Ramsey Music Society take place. Organiser and fine concert pianist herself, of course, Olga Vestige, told me more. The next concert in the summer series, so that's skipping forward to July the 13th, again, of course, in West Hall at Ramsey Grammar School, and a pianist this time, Yuan Fan Yang.
This time we have a young gentleman who is of Chinese origin, but who studied in London and stayed in London at least so far to continue his career, Yuan Fan Yang. He plays around London a lot. He plays in various clubs around London, in the sense like Reform Club, like Liberal Club, not nightclubs, but what used to be called gentlemen clubs.
Yes, gentlemen's
and
clubs.
That was the definition long time ago, but that's just to differentiate them from disco clubs and nightclubs that he plays lunchtime recitals or evening recitals there. He also performs at various stately homes, and he plays in various churches, which is always interesting to see. And he has an interesting idea of improvisation and the importance of improvisation in music. So as well as playing classical repertoire, as we expect our soloists to do, as Ramsey Music Society is a classical music society first and foremost, we also encourage novelty. And to have a pianist who can invite a member of the audience to name the tune and he would improvise there and then on that tune is something that we thought would be interesting. So part of the program will be traditional classical music of Beethoven and Chopin and Schubert, but part of it will be Jan Van's own take, to use the word, on famous melodies. So come prepared, think what would you like to hear, and see how he can do it. And you never know, if you're a musician, he might offer to do it four hands.
Absolutely. And again, you can go online and find a little piece. I was watching a piece before we started chatting this morning. And yes, he's got a member of the audience, comes on stage and plays a little bit of Amazing Grace, I think, on the piano. And he says, oh, it's Amazing Grace. Yeah. What style would you like it? And he says, well, I don't mind, whatever you want. And he sort of sits down and, as you say, plays the theme and plays it straight and then starts improvising around it and playing in different styles. Wonderful stuff. Looks great fun, I must admit. So it'd be I think it'd be something really different, that something people to look forward to. How do you actually choose because again, it's getting a varied roster, isn't it, through the year? Is this something, do you use your own contacts, or do people suggest artists you might be able to approach?
It's both. Being concert pianist myself, I travel a lot. I take part in various festivals, and I've done it for so long that over the period of time, I made contacts with agents and also with festival organizers. And this is something that I think our Ramsey Music Society is trying to do for many years now, to bring international artists, not just the UK artists or those who are based in the UK we bring, but we try to bring artists who have international connections, to put Ramsey on the map as a concert venue for international performers. And I'm a strong believer that although the Isle of Man perhaps is small in size, is big in cultural influence. Yeah. And that's why every year we are trying to bring musicians from various countries. And also we are very much in favor of giving a platform to young musicians. And we have connections with the Royal Northern College of Music. And we invite, hopefully, stars of the future, graduate students of the Royal Northern College, to play for us, and allowing young musicians to make first steps in their professional career, supporting educational element of that and promoting them as potential future laureates and winners of international competitions. But you hear them first in Ramsey.
Absolutely. And as you say, the Isle of Man can and still does punch well above its weight, I think, when it comes to cultural offerings like this, whether it's the Ramsey Music Society or the wonderful music goes down at the Air and Arts Society and the Air and Arts Centre, I should say, and also the Peel Centenary Centre, of course, wonderful musicians and players of all sorts of genres playing on the Isle of Man. So, Yuan Fan Yang on the 13th of July, and again, same again, turn up on the door, bring your £15 with you, students and those in full-time education. Get in free. I mean, how good is that? That's a wonderful thing, actually, to be able to offer, isn't it? There are more things happening later in the year. We'll talk about those perhaps a little later on, including, I see, you're playing yourself, not at Ramsey Music Society, but down at the Air and Arts Centre. We'll talk about that later in the year. Just before we finish today, though, just a reminder again that I know, like all societies, you always need new blood to come into the society. So you're always looking for people who might be interested in becoming committee members.
This is very true, because although I've been with the society for 27 years now, then we do need people to join, because there are people who had been for 27 years as well, but who were much older than me when I joined, and now for various reasons cannot be on the society. And we would very much appreciate if some people would come forward to join us, be it in the capacity as a treasurer, as a website promoter, or in any way that you can help to run the society. So this is something I always emphasize in all our letters to supporters and people who are interested in music, that please don't just come, help us to make it happening.
Lovely. And if people are interested, is the best thing to get in contact with you or contact online?
We have our website, Ramsey Music Society website. We have our Facebook, Ramsey Music Society page on Facebook. So by any of these means, just send us a message, either an email via our website page or a Facebook message. And I have my own Facebook page as well, and Olga Eggert Verstich, Eggert being my maiden name and Verstich being my married name. Olga Eggert Verstich is the only one Olga Eggert Verstich in the world, so easy to find. And then you would not get many matches for that name. And you can always send me a direct message if you're interested in taking part in continuing this wonderful chance to bring international musicians to perform on the Isle of Man in the north of the island.
Lovely to catch up as always, and we'll speak again a bit later in the year and talk about the concerts in September and October.
Thank you very much for having me.
I confess, I never get to those concerts as often as I'd like. I haven't been to one for a couple of years at least. They usually fall on an evening when I have a regular commitment, but I do hope I will get to more in the future. And if you'd like to get involved with organising them and helping out with the Ramsey Music Society, don't hesitate. These societies always need new blood and talent. Before we go, well, it's almost here, one of the most Manx and popular artistic events in the year. The ever-popular Krynjik gets underway on Monday the 27th of July, runs through to the 2nd of August. We heard about some of the earlier events last week. Organiser Dr. Chloe Woolley told me more about what else is happening.
On the Saturday night, a little bit extending the Celtic flag in some ways, but we've got a duo from Orkney. And this is Saltfish 40, a fiddle and guitar duo, and they're huge up in Scotland. So we've been trying to get them for years, actually. So they'll be in the Centenary Centre on the Saturday night, and we'll be doing some workshops. You'll see a lot of these acts at Noah Market Hall as well during the week.
Yeah, there's sort of pop-ups that people... So when it's on the Krynjik, there sort of seems to be little pop-ups, like you say, in sort of, I know, like singing outside the museum and popping up in sort of Noah Bakehouse, and the lunchtime sort of sessions have been really popular.
They have, yeah. Oh, so we do try and theme them every day. So it's from Monday to Friday between 1 and 2. There'll be like a Manx session one day, Irish... then we're going to have Scottish and Orcadian. We're going to have a Brythonic one this year. So for those who know about the Celtic languages, that's the Welsh, Cornish and Breton, a Brythonic. So that's going to be a joint session of those tunes. And anyone could take part in those. But we've also got a young group from Dublin coming called Philly. And they also do some Appalachian music.
Wow.
Yeah, so... really nice. Yeah, so we're planning for them to host a session as well in Noah Market Hall, and they'll be performing at various events during the week.
Magic.
So that'd be fun.
So if people want to find out more, I mean, there's so much going on that I don't we go through everything, but I mean, is there an online sort of portal people can go and find out what's going on, and indeed the important thing of how to book stuff?
Yep. So if you go to CelticGathering.im. or inkrynjik.com, it takes you to the same place, and we will have our full programme up there very soon, but you can book your tickets through that website, and we will have a presence on Timmel Day as well, so you can pop over to the Timmel tent, and hopefully we'll have our printed programmes there for you, and some merchandise.
Everyone loves merch.
Everyone loves a new Krynjik t-shirt. So, there's all those. Tickets are sold, they're selling very well. Festival passes have already sold out.
Oh, wow, that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we're expecting quite a few people, quite a few visitors from across seem to be coming over especially, which is lovely for tourism.
Yeah. Well, I think the word gets around, as you say, doesn't it? It has a name off the island now, I think.
Yeah, yes. And it's nice to collaborate with other things that are going on, like Culture Van and Summer School, but also Peel Carnival that we're going to have, the beach stage. And Peel commissioners have been really helpful. We're going to put on acts and encourage some busking and stuff every day in the afternoon on the Peel Beach stage. So there's plenty going on. We've got sessions in the White House and loads of stuff happening in Black Dog Oven and Miller's Tale. So, yeah, hopefully there's something for all ages and everyone.
Brilliant.
And, yeah, it's great to have like public support. So the Arts Council have been great with the help with travel, and Culture Van, of course, amazing, supporting us, plus lots of other sponsors. So
great.
Yeah, look out in the programme.
That's the main thing. Keep your eye open. Programmes will be available soon. Go online if you want to find out more details. Order your tickets. You performing?
I am, actually, yes. Yeah, with local theatre group, Sullen. We're doing a little extract from T. Brown's Peel Lifeboat as part of the Celtic Songs of the Sea. So, and I'll be dancing with Scavengerg, the Manx dance group. So, yes, behind the scenes and on stage too.
No end to your talent. Look out for it coming up soon. And like I said, go online to find out more and then pick up one of the programmes and check something out. There is, as Chloe says, something for everyone. It's always a splendid event. There is indeed something for all tastes, even if you think you're not a massive folk fan or much of a fan of Manx. It is infectious. That's about it for this week, though. See you next week. We'll be hearing about the Cush Vor, among other joys, keeping it Manx. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Hemu.